I want to, we're going through the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 1, and I want to continue. I thought I would go a little bit further in the book of Colossians, and I got to chapter 9. We looked at verse 9 of chapter 1. We looked at verses 5 through 8 last week, and so I just want to read this and look at this one verse, actually one word in the verse, because that's about as far as I got. And so Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 reads, "For this reason, also since the day we heard it," heard what? Of the salvation of the Colossians, because Paul was not the apostle who preached to the Colossians and they received Christ. It was Epaphras who preached the gospel to them. But Paul says, since the day we heard of your conversion, he says, "We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul prayed, and I love apostolic prayers. When you go through, you read Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, you read read the apostolic prayers, you won't find Paul praying for what we typically pray for in a given day, like, "Lord, my car broke down. I need money to fix my car. Lord, the house needs a roof." He's not praying for all those things. Paul is, when he prays, he's caught up in glory, and he's praying for spiritual realities to come and find themselves in your life, that you would understand. Listen, all that you could ever need is found in Christ. Paul is always praying that you would know Christ. What do we teach a lot of down here? Prosperity, money, cars. Are people always trying to get stuff? If you know him, you have all the stuff. Because he said, "I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and the gold is mine." He said, "It all belongs to me." But oftentimes we can get looking after things and not realize who we have, who has made himself accessible to us. And so in this, I got to this word filled. Paul praying the will of God for the church at Colossae. And he says, "I'm asking that you may be filled." Paul is being moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Spirit of God and what he's asking for the people. And what Paul was moved to pray for the people, ever since I read it, I began to pray for you. I've been praying all week. "Lord, I pray that they would be filled." Filled. That's the title of the message, by the way. Filled. Because as I read the scriptures, as I look into the Word of God, and I love this about the Word of God, any one subject, the Word of God is overflowing with commentaries on itself. And I want you to understand that God is a God that when he does something, he does it fully. Okay, he does it to the overflow. He fills when he does something. He doesn't, when he gives you himself, he doesn't give you a little bit. You'll never see in the scriptures, and we'll get into it in a second, but you'll never see in the scriptures where God gave a little bit of his Holy Spirit. He didn't fill him. He didn't give him half cup. He didn't give him a little trickle. But whenever the Holy Spirit's given out, it's always saying they were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. God is a God who, that when he does things, he goes all the way. Not only does he go all the way, in so many cases, he goes overboard. Hello. When he gives you something, he'll give you more than enough. Hello. He'll give you more. See, because you have to understand that we are people of capacity. Capacity is that which you are able to hold. Okay. But God, when he comes, he never fills you halfway. He always fills you to capacity and over. That's why when Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said that, He said that the day will come where you out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why? Because he would fill you first and then you minister out of the overflow. You know, God never, when you minister the word of God or the spirit of God, you never do it out of a trickle. You always do it out of the overflow. Why? Because he has to fill you first, because the husband must be first partaker of the fruit. Amen. He fills you first and then everyone else is ministered to out of the overflow. God, when he gives you what he wants you to, when he gives you, he wants you to be filled. When he gives to you, he wants you to be filled. Filled. And so what does this conjure up in our mind? Well, my chief goal is for this, that when you think about God living in you, if you think about it at all, and we ought to. Hello. It's the greatest thing going on planet Earth. It's that God came and he's living inside of us. Well, when he lives there, he wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. What does that mean? There's no flesh left for you to operate in. Why? Because he's taken up residence to the full. To the full. That's what he does. So I just want to go through some scriptures. And I'm just going to deal with this word filled, because I can't go any further because I got stopped. Amen. I got stopped and I got caught up looking at this. So look at what God does. Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now he's not talking to people yet. He's just talking to the animals. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply in the earth. And so from the time that God spoke that, what do you do when you turn on the television and see one of these nature specials underwater? You see the seas teeming with life. I mean, everywhere you look, what you can see, and that's not even mentioning what you cannot see, but it's full of life. Why? Because God said, fill the seas. I want the seas filled. Now, he didn't stop there. It happens with the animals on land, but then Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them and said to them, this is Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Fill the earth. Got a young lady who used to go here, the Crump family. This girl is taking that mandate all to herself. Which one she on? She just had number 11. This girl was in my youth group. I remember this girl coming to the youth group and she's crying over this boyfriend and that boyfriend. I said, Christine is going to be all right. Don't worry about it. And this girl just had her 11th child. I got on Facebook and said, taking the mandate seriously. Do it, sister. Go for it. Why? Because God said to fill the earth. Here we getting up. We getting scared. There's going to be enough room. Is there going to be enough room? Listen, did you make this place? No. God made it. He knows what he's doing. And he said, fill the earth. So I tell them, fill the earth. Have as many children. I always tell people, you need to stop having all these children. I said, shut up. God didn't give you grace to have that many children, but he gave it to them. So let them have it. Have as many as God give you grace to have. Oh, rejoice in it. That's right. Because God wants you to fill the earth. Why? He made it. So much so that when they stopped and built the Tower of Babel and they weren't going, spreading themselves over the earth, as God said, God came down to confuse their language so they could break up and keep on going. He said, fill, go, move, branch out and fill the earth. Oh, yes, he got it going. Not only then, after he destroyed them because they were so wicked in Genesis 9:1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and fill the earth. Now, when God says something to you twice, three times, it's an indication that he's really want his will to be done. And he keeps saying this, fill. Why? Because God is a God of fullness. He is a God of fullness. Listen, when he determined that we would have relationship with one another, guess what? In your relationships, he wants fullness between husband and wife, between parents and children, in every relationship. He wants you to have fullness of expression, fullness of life, fullness, because that's what he came. That's what he originated. That's what he had in his mind when he made us, when he created us, for us to live in fullness. And so in Exodus 28 and verse 3, when they're about to make the temple, God says, so shall you speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments. And so when they're going to make the temple and make all these items, God says, listen, I have filled certain people with a spirit of wisdom for them to be able to create artistic drawings and patterns. Now, listen, God didn't just do this with them. God has done this. Where do you think people, I'm talking people in the world, all the people are his. He's given it. Where do you think these gifts come from? He did it. The problem is, the person with the gifts looks in the mirror and says, ain't I all that? Hello. The person does not give glory to the one who created them. Hello. And so, but for the Christian should understand this. God wants us to be filled to capacity. That's why he filled these people with his spirit. Exodus 35 and 31 says, and he filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Then we go further. Exodus chapter 40. God said, I want you to build the tabernacle, Moses. And Moses gets all the people together to take up the offering. And the people give and they build the tabernacle. We're talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness, not the temple of Solomon. We'll get to that in a second. But they build the tabernacle. So what happens? When they get done building the tabernacle, everything is in its place. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34 says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled it. Now, God, when he came, did not come in a little trickle. He never does. That's not his intention. When he comes, he's coming in fullness. Hello. When he comes, he's coming in fullness. Why do you think they told him to make the tabernacle? Exodus 25 and verse 3, verse 8. Exodus 25 and 8 says this. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's the reason why he told them to build a tabernacle, so that he could live among them. But when he came, he didn't come a little bit. He came in fullness. He filled the tabernacle. Okay? That is always his purpose. So in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10, now we're talking about the temple that Solomon made. The scripture says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. The cloud filled the house of the Lord. Sister scripture to it, 2 Chronicles 7 and 1 says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. This was at the dedication of the temple. Just like when Moses dedicated the tabernacle, this is the dedication of the temple. And when they got it all done and finished, God says, okay, now it's time for me to come in. And he came in fullness. And when God came in, his power, his glory was so great that the priests could no longer minister in the tabernacle. They couldn't even go in. Why? Because he was living there in fullness. Now, that is the Old Testament, but there is a New Testament counterpart to that, right? The New Testament counterpart to that was Acts chapter 2. When the temple was all made, when it was finished, remember now, the temple, God told David that I don't dwell in a temple made with hands. In Acts chapter 2, the scripture says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The same God who in the Old Testament came into the tabernacle, then came into Solomon's temple, was the God who came into his sanctuary, his temple, which were the people. And the same God lives in us, and he wants to live in us in fullness. He wants to fill your life. God has not come to you and I to play second fiddle. Hello. He didn't come to play second chair. He came to be number one, which means he comes to take over. He comes to fill all things. And so what is he doing in your life? What is he doing in your life right now? He's seeking to fill you. He wants to fill us until there's no us left. Hello. He wants to fill us. And so in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35, the scripture says, now this is the story where Daniel is telling the king about his dream that he saw the statue of gold with the stomach of bronze, so forth, hips of bronze and so forth, stomach of silver and all. And at the end of him interpreting that dream, Daniel says this, then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that there was no trace of them found. And the stone that struck the image, Christ, he's the chief cornerstone. The church is the rock. The stone that struck the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. It filled the whole earth. And that scripture literally has come to pass because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that began to be preached by Peter and the apostles, and Paul took it to the Gentiles, and it went and filled the whole earth. And at one point they said, we told you not to preach just Jesus, and yet you filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine. And Paul said, and God's up in heaven said, mm-hmm, that's right. And we ain't done yet, because it's going to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what's happening today. Is God is filling the earth with his gospel. Why? Because he never started it for it to be a little thing. Habakkuk 2:14 firmly declares, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so Paul, who is praying for the Colossians, and he's praying the will of God. We'll get to that next week. But he's praying, and he says, I do not cease to pray and ask that you may be filled. And when you ask God according to his will, the word says, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have a part to play in that filling. We'll get to that in a little later. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20 is one of the accounts of where Jesus was either feeding the 5,000 or the 4,000. And the scripture says this, so they all ate and were filled. They all ate and were filled from a boy's lunch of two fish and a few loaves. God's not like me. See, but sometimes when we be having my wife, she's the consummate preparer in my mind. When I have someone, I say, honey, I'm going to have someone over to the house and we're going to do this or that. And my wife goes in, she's more like God. See, she goes into this mode of preparation. Okay? And when she goes into her prep mode and she goes get food, she buys food for all of Fairfax County, you know, because she's not going to run out. Now, me, I'll be telling her, honey, the people ain't going to starve. If it run out, it run out. They'd be good. You know, they can go home and get something to eat. But my wife, no. She come home with, you know, birds and chickens and this, that, because she ain't going to run out. That's a godly man. See, because when God goes to do something, when God comes to feed you, guess what? You're not going to run out. Because here it says that they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. So not only did Jesus fill the people who were hungry, he filled 12 baskets after that. That's the God that we're dealing with. He's not a God of lack. He's not a God of little. Lord, can I have just a little bit? Father, can I have just a snicker, just a little bit? I'm not asking for much. No, he's saying, ask for much. How much more shall your heavenly Father, if your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone? Well, then if you're that good, how much better, how much more good am I than you? And so when you ask, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. Believe. Oh, what a novel idea. Should I actually believe when I'm praying? Yes. Yes. Believe. When God does something, he does it to the full. In John 6:13 of the same account, it says, therefore they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And so God filled them, and then he filled some baskets. What more do you want to know? Can you imagine the people sitting there having eaten and looking around going, did you see what God just did? Undeniable. He wants to fill us. He wants us full. Luke 5 and 7. There's multiple accounts of this throughout the scripture. You remember when the disciples went out and they went fishing and they had toiled all night and caught nothing. You remember when Jesus, he's standing on the shore. This is not after his resurrection. It happened after his resurrection, but this is before his resurrection, early in the gospel of Luke. And he said, throw the net on the right side of the boat, or the different account where they had come in. And he sent them back. I said, go out and let down your nets for a draught. The scripture says that when they had done so, that their nets enclosed such an amount of fish. It says in Luke 5:7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. That's like you starting a business and God giving you so much that you have to call your comrade with his business. Could you come over here and help us? Because we have so much we cannot even deal with at all. That's the God I'm talking about. And so they called to the other ones in the boat and they said, come help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. That's God. He's the God. He not only filled your boat, he'll fill somebody else's boat. And then go get another boat. He'll fill that one too. Because he's a God of fullness. He wants us filled. He wants us filled. That has literally happened to me. I go, I'm be cleaning. I'm down to one person. Hello, me. And my business. Someone will call. And I go out. It was the Smithsonian. They called. And I go down. This is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know that address. Well, this was 1666. You could kind of like throw a rock and hit 1600. And so I'm down there. And after the Secret Service and their dogs run all around and sniffing and carrying on and looking up this, that, and the other. And they finally let me in. And I'm walking around. The dude's like, yeah, well, we need. He took me into a room. It was insane. I'm like looking at this room. This room is like 150 feet one way and all the way across like this. I'm like, just to clean this one room would be like you. And I'm thinking about calling my friend over another kid. I say, hey, you need to come over here and help me with this. Well, this is too much. But that's the God that we serve. He's a God of fullness, right? And so when I look at life and I see the hand of God, I see fullness. I see fullness. The earth is teeming with people, the sea with fish, the air with birds, the land with every type of creature. And when God said, let there be light, I mean, galaxies and stars flung out in every possible direction, and continually and ongoing, and because we have ambient light around here, you can't see anything. But these people who live in different parts of the world, they say you go out, you can see like almost the whole Milky Way just laying out in front of you, and there it all is. And guess the heavens are full, absolutely full of stars. Because we serve a God of fullness, and when he spoke it, it all came into being, right? And so he's a God that he does things in fullness. So Elizabeth, remember Elizabeth, when she was carrying John the Baptist, when she greeted Mary, and Mary said, hi, whoop, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in her womb. Why? Because God is a God of fullness. He came into them, and he didn't come into them in a trickle. The scripture always says he came in fullness. And so Elizabeth, Zechariah, John the Baptist were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:1 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And thus, when the scripture talks about you and I receiving the Spirit, it always, always, always talks about us being filled. Why? Because that's his intent. That's his desire. That's what he came for. He didn't come to give you a trickle. Right? He didn't come to give you a trickle. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Scripture says, then the master said to his servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. Filled. So guess what I've been praying all week? Fill the house, Father. Lord, I pray we would see the houses filled. I've been praying for all churches, not just our churches, every church. Could you imagine it? You see the houses of God full, full, full. Not so we can say, you know, aren't we great? No. Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he does it in fullness. Fullness. John 2:7. You'll remember this. They're at a marriage, a wedding, and they run out of wine. And they have these purification pots where the Jews keep water. Water for doing different rituals. But these pots never carried wine. But Jesus said to them, fill the water pots. Fill the water pots with water. He didn't say, no, just put halfway, just put a little bit in. Y'all don't need much. Mm-mm. He said, fill the water pots. And different commentators say why he would have done that. They have different reasons why. But part of me likes to think this, that if Jesus fed the 5,000, which actually ended up being like 15,000 people because of women and children, and they didn't run out of food, I would probably be safe to infer that this wedding didn't run out of wine not after he got involved. Because he said, fill the pots. Fill the pots. And then in one moment, water turned to wine. And not just any old wine. It was the best wine. And it was full. And guess what? The people there could drink till they're full. I'm not saying that they should drink till they're full, but the people could drink. And it's okay to eat till you're full, but it's not quite good if you drink till you're full. But I believe this. I believe because of how Jesus did things. They didn't run out of food. And I think it would be safe to say, neither did they run out of wine. They ran out of wine when it was up to man to supply. But when it came to God supplying it, he said, fill the pots. Fill the pots. God is he's a wonder-working God. Amen? God works wonders. He also works to fill people with wonders. He fills people with wonder. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 10, we read this. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. And I, you know, when you live life and you live long enough to see the hand of God moving and you see people filled with wonder at what happened. I see it from time to time when I go into different people's homes and end up praying with them. And they're looking at me like I'm God, you know. But don't get it wrong. You know, I don't let that last. You know, they know I ain't God. But see, God has moved so that they're looking at you and like, oh, oh, oh my. And I'm just standing there, yeah, that's him. That's how he is. That's what he does. All through a simple prayer, all through a simple scripture, whatever it may be. God fills people with wonder. Luke 5:26 reads, and they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Luke 5 was the account of when they brought in the crippled man and tore up the ceiling and let him in, let him down. And Jesus said to him who was sick, your sins be forgiven you. And the Pharisees thought, who is this who blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God? Jesus said, which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? But so that you may know that the man, Son of God, has power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed and go into your house. And the man got up, wrapped up his mat on a Sabbath, and went into his house. And the people sitting there going, ain't we seen great work? Who is this? Who is this? Exactly. He did what he did so that he might glorify his Father who was in heaven, who had sent him to redeem the world, to prove that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Acts 4 and verse 8 declares, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know this account of when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, then he came back and he preached later. And the people were responding to him after the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, they said, what is this? And he preached this great sermon. Then he preached again in Acts chapter 3. And he responded to the people, but in his response, the scripture notes this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and my prayer for us began to be, Lord, help us that when we go to respond to someone, that it would be a response out of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let me read Acts chapter 4:31. We'll get to that. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. We know some of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this before, where Ephesians 5 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? And so we know what some of the signs of spirit-filled life is, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, having a joy about us that is not centered in man, but is centered in God. Amen. We see here it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. One of the signs of the spirit-filled life is that you're not afraid of what other people think about you. You are not afraid to stand up for God. There's a boldness about you. Hello. That if someone does not think highly of the word of God, or someone is rejecting what you're saying, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't make you sheepish or cowardly or fear back, or let me crouch back because you whatever. No, there is a boldness about you. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17 declares about when Paul was Saul then had been converted. The scripture says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul, when he got knocked off his horse by the showing of the Lord Jesus, the light knocked him to the ground, he lost his vision. God took his vision away because God didn't want him to see anything else but the new life that he would have in Christ. So he took his vision for a moment and for 3 days. And when Ananias laid his hands upon him, he says, I've done this. The Lord Jesus sent me to do this so that you may receive your sight and be filled. Filled. 3 days was all it was. What are we waiting for? To be filled. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Hello. Peace. Long suffering. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? And so all of these things are indications that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. How does one remain full of the Holy Spirit? And I believe this is key. By simply obeying the Holy Spirit. Simply obeying the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how am I going to obey the Holy Spirit? Is he saying something to me? Woo, have I got news for you. Okay, yes. He's saying plenty. I was telling the other church the story I've told you many times about my mother who was planting flowers one day. And the Holy Ghost said, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's so gentle. He's so kind. And he'll come to you in a way that when you first start hearing his voice, you'll just think you're talking to yourself. You say, oh, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, it's him. And so my mother's out there planting. She loved the earth. She loved being in the dirt. And so she's planting flowers. And the Holy Spirit on this side says, go in the house. My mother said, okay, Lord. Now, watch this. She knew it was the Lord. She knew it was the Lord. That's the key. She says, okay, Lord, in a few minutes, soon as I just get finished with this planting these last few flowers. The Holy Spirit's so gentle and so kind. He comes back a little while later. He said a second time, go in the house. Mama said, okay, Lord, soon as I get done with this flower here. But when is the time to obey the Lord? Now, when you hear him speak, that's the time to obey. He's not speaking for his good. He's speaking for your good. Okay? So how do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit speaks, react. When the Holy Spirit speaks, obey. And so after the second time, the Holy Spirit didn't say anything anymore. The only thing that got my mother's attention before was the Holy Spirit getting her attention. But the next thing she knew, there was a German shepherd about yay high, tied up next door, always tied up next door. She looked over, heard something coming. She looked over and the dog wasn't in his spot. That's because he was galloping toward her. And my mother all of a sudden decided, now is the time to obey the Holy Spirit. Problem with that was, it's too late because when he said go in the house, that was the time to go in the house. And so now she gets up. My mother, now mama could run. We always said she should have been on the track team. Mama could run. But we had brick steps up into our house. And mama tripped. And so her shins, I come home from school, shins all bloody. Bloody here because she fell going up brick steps. Right about the time she fell, the dog looked at her, thought, oh, the chase is over. Okay, let me go back. And so the dog went on back by his business, but his mama, blah, blah, she gets in the house and says, Lord, and he said, that's why I was telling you to go in the house. Now, so when God speaks to us, that's not the time to question. Although he's patient because he said to Ananias, he says, Ananias, I need you to go to a street called Straight and inquire in a house for one named Saul. And Ananias said, now, Lord, this is the man, as if the Lord needed. The Lord doesn't know. He said, now, Lord, this is the man that, but the Lord was very patient with him. Okay. He says, no, go. I have a plan for him. And Ananias didn't need any convincing. He just went. Okay. But you know how we can do sometimes. Hello. My sister was driving down, going to a doctor's appointment. And she said afterward, she told me, she says, you know, something in me when I was driving, I don't know why I was thinking the whole time, go the other way. Go the other way. Well, I don't know. Well, she gets to this light and she's driving through the light. She's got a green light. She's driving through. When a woman comes through about 50, 60 miles, however fast she was going, this woman hits my sister, shaves off the front of her car. My sister's car flies across the intersection, takes out a stoplight. They had to use the jaws of life to get her. She passed out, bleeding, all of this business. When she comes back to, the paramedics are there, and she's totally out of her mind. She's screaming. She don't know what she's like. Call my sister. Call my sister. She didn't know. And then after all that, she says, you know, I thought the whole time I kept thinking, go the other way. Something kept telling me, go the other way. So sometimes, you know, God speaks to us. You're his child. He speaks to us. So remaining filled with the Holy Spirit has a lot to do with obeying the Holy Spirit. God help us. Acts chapter 5 and 28. Already quoted that to you. I won't go through that again. But Romans chapter 9, a few more scriptures. Romans chapter 15, rather, verse 14. Paul said, now I myself am confident concerning you, brethren, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. God, and this would be one of the scriptures we'll look at next week, when Paul was praying for the Colossians, he says, I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, listen. I mean, now we could go into deep theological treatises on this and say, oh, this is what God meant. This is what God meant, you know. But when he said to my mother, go into the house, he gave her the knowledge of his will. When I was driving down the road with three or four packed car full of teenagers, I was young youth pastor, whatever. When I'm driving down the road right here on 236 years ago, and I'm in the right lane, and the Holy Spirit said very gently, get out of this lane. Now I was young, but I knew the voice of God well enough that when he said, get out of this lane, that's all he said. He didn't say why. All he said was, get out of this lane. I hit my signal, peeked back, got out. As soon as I got out, bam, 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 five car accident, which I would have been in the middle. And I look back and I was like, hey, don't roll coats. Ha, 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 ha. Hey. And the young people sit up there and go, whoa, what's wrong? I said, oh, do you know what God just did? Oh my goodness. God just told me to get out the lane. That was just an accident. I'm going off. I'm not going off because, but what was he doing? He was letting me know the knowledge of his will. Paul was praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. He was praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so years ago, we were thinking about buying this house right before the recession hit. And the Holy Spirit came to me through my wife and said, now, you know better than that. Now, don't do that. I said, okay, Jesus, amen. But he let me know the knowledge of his will. He made known the knowledge of his will. It's not something mystical, y'all. You know, Paul's praying, I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think he does it more oftentimes than we would want to know. I really do. The last instance when I went into these ladies' house and ended up praying with them to receive Christ, when I opened up the door, I knew, because the house was tore up, I knew, I said, okay, I ain't cleaning this house today because they're not ready. That much was evident. But then the Holy Spirit began to move and I began to see, okay, I see what it is you're going to do. I see what you want to do. And once it became known to me, he made known to me the knowledge of his will. Then I just got in with the program. Amen. I told these women about Jesus. I said, we can pray right now. And they prayed. They said, yeah, we want to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Listen, you don't go and preach people into that. God had them ready. And when I showed up, he just showed his will and said, now get with the program, son. And I said, yes, daddy. Yes, father. And you just pray with people. Boom, it's done. Why? Because he didn't already done the work. He didn't already gone before, touched people's heart, opened people's heart, thrown open the doors of their heart. All you got to do is pray and they get saved. Loving Jesus. Amen. And so this is what Paul was praying for them in Ephesians 3:19. Paul says this. Let me read this because there's another one of these apostolic prayers that I love praying over the church, love praying over our people. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says this. There it is. So it says, for this reason, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, both in heaven and earth, is named, that he would grant you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell. Now listen, this is what God wants for you. Look, if you need a house or you need a car, guess what? He's going to give that to you, period. Why? Because he does that for the just and the unjust. He's taking care of everybody on the planet. He's feeding every animal that's out there, and the animals ain't even saved. Come on. He's taking care of everything. If you need something, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give you what you need. But listen, so that's why Paul's not there. He's not praying over that. Listen what he's praying for. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in his love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the dimensions of God's love, to know the love of Christ with which passes knowledge. How do you know something that you can't know? How do you know something that passes your ability to know? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And then he says this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, he says, son, remember how I used to say to you, God says, I want all of you. I will have all of you, because he wants to fill us with the fullness of himself. He wants us filled with the fullness of God. That is what Paul was praying over the Ephesian believers. God wants us full of himself. You ever said, you've seen somebody say, you're full of yourself? Okay, that's not a compliment when someone says that to you. Now, but if they said this, you're full of God. Now that's a compliment. That's God's will. That's his intention, is that he wants to fill us. Last scripture, Philippians 1 and 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Listen, God wants you and I filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and point to Jesus Christ. And all of that is for our good. And the scripture goes on to say, to the glory and praise of God. It's for our good and his glory. This is why he wants to fill us. See, he's glorified when the earth is filled with everything that he commanded to be filled with. And he's glorified when you and I are filled with his Spirit, the person, power, and presence of his Holy Spirit filling our lives. So when we wake every morning or every moment of the day, when we consider what we're going to do, what it is we would like to do, there's a Holy One. There's a Holy One living on the inside of us. And if you're careful, you know, if you just every now and again, you'll have something that he wants you to do. Amen. And you'll feel like years ago, somebody asked me, some Christian event going on, and I don't know what it was, but some event, prayer meeting, whatever. And they said, Pat, are you going to be there? And I immediately said to them, yes, I'll be there. And when I said that, the Holy Spirit down in here said, no, you won't be there. Now, I said, yes, I'll be there. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you won't be there. And I just went, it checked me. And I was like, okay, I don't know the future, but I know who does. And so, you know, I told the person, I said, you know what? Let me get back to you on that. Let me get back to you. And I watched on purpose when 2 weeks later, when the time came for that event to occur, something happened. It drew me all the way off, and I couldn't even attend the event. I had some emergency. I couldn't even be. And I marked it and noted that the Holy Spirit was right, and I was wrong, right? So as we live this life and as we walk with God, you'll see his handiwork. You'll see him You'll see him leading and guiding and filling to overflowing. Why? Because he wants us full of himself. Not so that, listen. When God speaks to you, that don't make you deep. Hello, I'm real deep. Oh, he real spiritual. Oh, he be hearing from God. Listen, no. Listen, God can talk to whoever he wants to, and he does all the time. He does all the time. Listen, but the chief way he speaks is right here. The chief way he speaks. And so, listen, church. If, you know, some people want to hear, I want to hear from God like that. Okay. Do you read this? Oh, no, I ain't got time for that. You know, I'm out. You just want popcorn and candy. You just want to just jump up and say, oh, I heard from God. Listen, there are people today hearing from God. They don't even know they're hearing from God. God's speaking to plenty of people, but they're not hearing. Come on, Jesus came when his first advent. He came. He was speaking to many people. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But the word of God is being sounded out to a great many people, and there are people not even listening. People not even listening. That young lady who used to babysit with Melody's grandmother. I told you the story before when she had a praying mother, and her mother bent on her knees for her daughter. And that night, the mother said, "Baby, don't go out tonight." She says, "Any other night, just not tonight, not tonight." And the girl said, "Mama, you always." She said, "Baby, God spoke to me in a dream. I had a dream." She says, "Not tonight, not tonight. Mama, you and your religion, you always have." So she go out, and she went out partying. And that night, somebody on BW Parkway, her and her three friends, cut all their throats, left them laying out BW Parkway. I'll never forget seeing Melody's mother on the news that day, saying, "Yeah, she worked with me." But see, God was speaking. Hello? God was speaking. So the young lady years ago who was here had a dream. And she was telling the dream in the back of church after church one Sunday. And I had just happened to be walking by. And as I was walking by, I heard her tell the dream. And from heaven, the interpretation of the dream dropped down in my spirit. And I just turned to her and I said, and I rebuked her. I wasn't mean. I wasn't mad. I said, "You better stop what you're doing. Because in that dream, God was warning you. He's warning you." Okay. This God speaks to people, but people don't hear. They choose not to hear. And she didn't listen. And she got pregnant because someone raped her. Because she kept going out, jumping out the window at night after her parents didn't know, and she kept going, doing what she was doing. But the dream she had, God had warned her, given, and she didn't know what the dream meant, but God gave me the interpretation. I gave her the interpretation. Did she listen? No. She kept right on. Woo! Hey! Yeah! And bam! Here it comes. The Holy Spirit, God speaks to, he's not quiet. He's in the earth, moving in people's lives, and he's speaking. But then, whenever you're spoken to, there has to be a response. There has to be a response, right? I was telling real quick, let me shut it down. I was telling the other church, Philippians chapter 2, the Lord said to, or Paul was saying to the people, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And I was just reminding them that, listen, a lot of our Christianity, we like to focus on what we're called to do. So we'll focus on work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But whenever God tells you to work, it's always because he's worked first. God will never tell you to do something but that he hasn't already gone before you and prepared the way. Otherwise, you can't do anything. Hear me. Hello. And so he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." Before you ever got even thought about working, God had already gone and worked and fixed it up and put it so you could get something done. Hello. Because Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing, right? So he has to work. So when we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it is because he has gone already before us and worked in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when God speaks to people, and believe me, he speaks. He is not silent. And there's some people he speaks to. If you saw them, you'd be looking at them. There ain't no way God be speaking to that person. Let me tell you something. Don't put God in a box. God was talking to Balaam, of all people. Hello. He was talking to Balaam. And Balaam still didn't want to hear him. Hello. So the Holy Spirit, he's active. He's active. And in your life, oh, yes, he's active. He'll speak through parents. He'll speak through friends, spiritual authority, pastors, of course, you know. He'll speak through prophets. He'll speak through, of course, circumstances. He'll speak through someone on the television. God will speak through whatever. Listen, all Balaam had was a donkey. Hello. Balaam wasn't listening to anything else. God said, okay, I'm going to go through the donkey. If it was a cat, meow, meow, God would go through the cat. But whatever you have, listen, they got a Siberian husky. If he has to come through the husky, husky be like, oh, oh. But if God, he will use what is near to you. But guess what? You will hear his voice. And when you hear, the moment you hear, you immediately become responsible for what you've heard. Hello. Oh, my goodness. Let me shut this down. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you that Paul prayed that the people would be filled. And Father, that's my prayer today for your house, for your people, that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will. And Father, when that filling comes, when that knowledge comes to us, Lord, that we would turn, oh Lord, and obey. And Father, that we would obey swiftly the word of the Lord. When we know the will of God, Lord, we would give ourselves quickly to the will of God because you're speaking for our good, oh God. And so I pray that your word would have free course, that your word would bring forth fruit, O God, because everything that you speak comes to pass. So let your word, O God, bring forth much fruit, that our fruit might remain, that you might be glorified. O Father, we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.